When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life, you know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Closed my eyes for that one. Got into the spirit of the music. Lost myself in the jingle.
Maybe you lost yourself in the jingle because this is a very special episode of Born to Love.
Very
normally,
special.
We bring on a guest to talk about something that they love, but today it's just you and me.
Scott, it's what Ellie loves. It's what Scott loves, and I am not sorry about it. We get all the airtime. It's just you and me talking about what we love.
One of the things that both of us love is talking. We like to hear ourselves talk.
Yeah.
So this is tailor-made for us. We were both born to love the year 1999. Am I right about that, Ellie?
You couldn't be more right. Full disclosure, I was born in 1980. Scott was born in 1981. Can I tell people that?
I mean, I would prefer you not, but the cat's out of the bag.
But now you know how old we are. And we are very excited to talk about the year 1999. Scott, what was happening in the... Let's set the scene for some of our younger listeners, some of our toddlers.
The last year of the 20th century.
Oh boy.
The internet, guys, taken off. The tech bubble was about to burst, but hadn't yet. President Bill Clinton impeached in December 1998. So the fallout from that...
And impeached does not mean indicted, something some people confuse.
Look it up, kids, because it's a little racy what Bill Clinton was doing in the White House, and he got in trouble for it. What were you up to, Ellie? I was in my senior year of high school.
BMOC!
Do you know what that means?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, it's big man on campus.
Oh,
BMOC.
Baby. I was a huge man on campus.
BMOC!
Okay, and in 1999, do the math, I was a year older than you. I still am. And in 1999, I had graduated from high school, and I was a freshman in college. Okay?
You have picked three things that you most loved about 1999. I picked three things that I most love about 1999. We're going to do a little countdown. So do you want to go first or should I go first?
You go first, Scott. You're the BMOC. So I feel like to the BMOC goes the first turn.
If it were 1999, I would be the BMOC. Here we go. The first thing that I love from the year 1999, Star Wars Episode One.
Okay. Okay. Scott, yeah, listen.
So wait, let's just back it up.
Back it up.
Are you familiar with the Star Wars franchise, Ellie?
Very, very vaguely. I'm saying that because I need to just let people know that when you talk about Star Wars, I will not know half of the things you're referencing, but also I understand that people are going to come after me for this. I did see Star Wars, but I have very little memory of it, and I'm not
You mean
into
the first
it.
One? Because there's a whole bunch of them since then. You don't know, no idea.
I saw the first one that was out in the world.
Was Harrison Ford in the Star Wars you saw?
Correct.
Okay.
Carrie Fisher, yeah. That's the one I saw. Okay, so that's my starting point. I just needed to put that out there as a disclaimer, okay?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Tell us why you loved it. Was Star Wars Episode One?
This is only going to confuse you more, Ellie. The one that you saw,
yeah,
it was made first, but it turns out it was Episode Four. So do you know a character by the name of Darth Vader?
Yes. Yes.
Guess what? I'm about to blow your mind, Ellie.
Okay.
In 1999, they made a movie where Darth Vader was the star and he was 8 years old. It may as well have been called Kid Darth Vader. Not a very good film. Everyone was very excited for it. And I myself, at, you know, big man on campus, Scott Eckerd, I was so excited. I was the first Star Wars that was going to get to see in the theaters. And it wasn't not very good. But we collectively, at least the nerds among us, decided it was good. Yeah. So I, Ellie, worked at a movie theater over the summer when it came out.
Okay,
and you know what the best perk of working in a movie theater is?
You get to see the movies for free.
Free movies. If you had to guess how many times I've seen Star Wars Episode One, what would your guess be? I'll cut to the chase. I saw it about 20 times.
Oh, my God. Now, would you stay at, would you go, like, independent of your work hours? Or I don't mean you would watch it during work, but would you stay after work to watch it? Or would you come back on a day?
I actually watched it during work. I'm exaggerating. I didn't see it the whole thing 20 times.
Yes.
What I would do is I knew exactly when the pod race was to the minute.
Yep.
So I would take my breaks during
Very
those times. And then I would
Scott.
Get some free popcorn and I'd watch the pod race.
Scott, I'm so curious. Your own assessment of the film is that it was not that good. But what you're saying is it seems to be like the critical response was also not good. Am I wrong?
Medium. I would say medium. The thing is that it's hard, and this is why I struggle with this choice. I love that movie, and I loved it in 1999, but it's not that great.
See.
The pod race is good, and the Darth Maul duel is good.
But sorry, I'm really curious to get to the bottom of this. Is your love for it, like, warts and all? You love it in its imperfection? What do you love about it besides the pod race and the other thing?
Those are mostly the things I love about it. I also love the music. I mean, it's a Star Wars movie. I mean, I'll go to Star Wars till the day I die, which it just brings me such joy, man, to be transported to a galaxy far, far away.
I'm really envious of that. Do you know how many times I've wished I loved Star Wars? Every May the 4th, I'm like, I wish I loved it more so I could make more references than May the 4th be with you.
That's the number one one.
That's it.
So I love Star Wars Episode One. What do you love about 1999?
It's another movie, Scott. It couldn't be more different from Star Wars.
I'm guessing one in my head. Go, go. What is yours?
Blair Witch Project. Sticks crackling. The scariest horror film ever made by man or witch. I love that movie. It still chills me to my core. Just thinking of it brings back absolute terror in me. And I love to be scared. And I'm not a horror film aficionado.
I thought you would hate horror movies, Ellie.
I don't. Horror movies, on the whole, I'm not trying to be Mr. Tough Guy. You're BMOC. I'm MTG, Mr. Tough Guy. I'm not scared by horror movies. Are you? Like, do horror movies scare you?
I'm terrified by them. Well, I mean, I'm not scared to go see one, but like, I don't enjoy myself because they scare me while I'm watching them.
Do you mean blood and gore scares? Like, what is it that scares you about them?
I could count the number of horror movies that I've seen in their entirety on one hand. And The Blair Witch Project is one of them.
Okay, Scott, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
At the end, when she's standing in the corner or whatever, scary. The sound
scary.
You made is exactly right. Ellie, it was a phenomenon back in 1999. I remember it. Where did you see The Blair Witch Project? Because I imagine it was in a packed house.
Every screening of The Blair Witch Project was packed because it was a sleeper hit and a phenomenon. Nobody could believe what they were seeing. Everybody wanted to see it. I saw it in a packed movie house.
A movie house?
A packed
the
movie.
Organist was playing.
Oh, The Blair Witch.
We thought that the train was going to come out of the screen and roll over us.
We were talking about 1899, right? No, 1999. I saw it in a packed movie theater in St. Louis, Missouri. I hope this isn't like shaming my parents, but my parents were out of town. So I went home to an empty house. Did I stay alone by myself?
Risky business.
I guess 19-year-olds stay alone. Anyway, I went back to an empty house and I couldn't sleep. Of course, I couldn't sleep. Who can sleep after watching that movie? Not I. And it was, I loved the feeling of being scared. I haven't seen something that has really scared me as much since. And it was a great movie. I also have a really nice little memory because this might make you laugh, Scott. My family made a parody. My sister Carrie was the Blair Witch, and my dad and I were the hikers. And you know my dad, he's pretty serious, right?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Look, I made you say yes, he is, because I was like, right? And then I stared right at you through the
Zoom screen. I didn't want to start characterizing your dad because
he's so
serious. He's serious enough that you want to be well-behaved. I'm a man in my 40s, and I do not want to get on the wrong side of your father. So yes, he's a serious man whom I respect deeply. And he was in your movie?
Yeah, because the thing is, as serious as he is, he's also as funny. He has got both sides of the coin. He's a serious man who's very funny. So we three made this movie, and it was such a wonderful, funny, weird thing to make. So that's mine. Blair Witch Project. Scott, your turn.
All right. This one, Ellie, this one's a little bit of a deeper cut. And if you didn't know Star Wars, you might not know this one.
I'm not going to.
I love Michael Crichton novels.
Now, Scott, I know that.
You do.
I know that you, actually, I think I know that you like him, and I know Michael Crichton because of Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park was the first adult book I read. I didn't read it in 1999. I read it in like 1992. But I was like a super fan. I felt like such a grown-up for reading it, and I read all of Michael Crichton's books. And every time a new one would come out, it was like a phenomenon. There were lines outside the Barnes and Noble, and I was in those lines. So he would come up with just bonkers ones. The one that came out in 1999, I had to refresh myself, is a time travel one about some scientists who go back to like the medieval era. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my! I'm looking it up. Is it Timeline?
It's Timeline, but so that one's not so great. It's about, you know, quantum stuff. It was always like Jurassic Park has a veneer of science, which only made me feel smart.
Right.
I mean, I was reading about it for the dino chases and for the, you know, I assume that there was bad guy knights in Timeline, but it was such an edge of your seat sciency thriller. In Sphere, they go under the ocean. Do you know what he also did, Ellie? Do you know what he did in the television space?
I might, because I was just looking him up.
Here's a guy, best-selling author. Every book he sells, huge. Makes the biggest movie of all time, Jurassic Park, spawned a franchise that is with us to this day, and then just decides to dabble in television one time and creates ER.
No, I didn't know he did ER.
ER, medical drama, basically invented the modern medical drama.
Is he insane?
Hugest TV show for like a decade. We, all of us collectively as a society, have Michael Crichton to thank for George Clooney. George Clooney was made famous by ER.
Gosh.
ER was such a hit that it minted a movie star.
To have that talent, I mean, you could argue what he's doing in books, movies, and television is all a similar thing. He's creating these edge-of-your-seat thriller. I mean, ER isn't an edge-of-your-seat thriller, I guess, but
it's pretty thrilling to watch those ER doctors
and
save lives.
And you can make 1,000 episodes from it,
and
which
they
did.
And they're so sexy, and then when they are so stressed out from saving lives that maybe they hook up sometimes.
It happens outside the ER, okay?
Sometimes it happens inside the
ER. Okay. But how does he know? Like, I don't know if I envy him or not, but to have that brain, to be able to create such hits, it seems like nothing is halfway with him.
Michael Crichton. Hitmaker. He's timeless.
Wait, I have to tell you one other thing about Michael Crichton.
Oh, I want to hear it.
Can you even guess how tall he was?
Well, now I'm imagining
he's either very short,
very
short
or very tall. I seem to remember he's tall. How tall is he, Ellie?
I mean, this is cartoonish. 6'9".
What? He was also a forward for the Boston Celtics, Michael
Crichton. He did
Crichton.
It all.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Get in zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free. Get
in zone. This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free. Get in
zone. But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix finder, only at AutoZone. Get in zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Ellie, what is your second thing? Okay. I guess we're down to four. Countdown.
No, we're down to three. We're down to three. In
math. I was too busy being popular in high school to learn my math.
BMOC, skip math. Come out with us. Okay.
Okay.
Let's read these Michael Crichton novels and watch Star Wars for the 20th time.
Hey, you're the big man on campus.
You're almost as big as Michael Crichton.
6'9". Why are there so many little kids at your high school?
That's why I was the big man on campus.
Right, yeah, exactly. It wasn't so hard.
I was going to school with second graders.
Okay, number three for me, or for us. I have to preface, this isn't unique to 1999, but I discovered it in 1999, and therefore it is extremely special to me. Wawa convenience stores.
I know it and I love it.
I love it. For those of you who aren't located in the Northeast, Wawa is, I think, an elevated 7-Eleven. And there was a Wawa right next to our college. Scott and I went to college together. That's why I said our college. And my dorm was located right next to one. And I sort of went my first half of school in 1998. I like maybe went and got a water there. But it wasn't until 1999 that I really took advantage of all Wawa had to offer. Specifically, it's Wawa brand ice cream. And I do hope Wawa's listening so they will send me some merch. But not only did I find the ice cream very comforting, you know, I was homesick the first year. And the ice cream brought me a lot of comfort. And also what I loved about Wawa was it was my first experience ordering sandwiches on a touch screen.
All of that is iconic. You eating late night ice cream because you're lonely and using a touch screen for the first time in your life. I mean,
iconic
touch screens,
is the only word. Yeah.
Now everyone's got a touch screen in your pocket. You walk into a Wawa in 1999 and there's a screen that you operate with your finger.
Insane. I didn't even understand how to use it at first. I started speaking with the sandwich maker and she like politely told me, oh, you can do it on the screen. Oh my gosh. What a life of gluttony and bad choices. But they had an apple fritter that I had like regularly. And so you shouldn't be having apple fritters more than once, I don't know, a week. Is that terrible? Am I too judgy?
I think you can. Apple fritters, there's worse things. I would say that the ice cream is probably as bad than the apple fritter.
I love that I came after the apple fritter and the ice cream was like, no. I think I always acknowledge the protein and calcium in ice cream. So I always think, oh, there is some value to that. But the apple fritters, I ate like 5 times a week. It's weird because. Of course, Wawa is linked to 1999 and me being that age. So that's why I have a nostalgia for it. I don't know that it's actually that good, but it did feel like a very special sandwich that I haven't been able to replicate elsewhere. And I know in my heart, it's a convenience store sandwich. You know, I always got like, whatever, turkey, cheese, pickles. And it's weird because like you can go to any bodega in New York and order that same thing, but it just doesn't have that same, it's not zest. It just doesn't have that same.
Je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi. Je ne sais pas. Alors, mon Dieu. But it just doesn't have that. So,
yeah, Ellie, one of the things that I loved so much about Wawa is it's radically different depending what time you go.
Because
if you went in the morning, I don't know when you're getting those apple fritters. If you went in the morning, it's like a bunch of adults getting coffee because they're commuting. Yeah. If you go sort of midday, then it's a hot lunch spot.
Yeah.
But if you went at like 2 a.m., it was...
Oh, wow.
It was an animal house.
I mean, because it was a 24-hour store.
Oh, yeah. Wawa. The one near us, the only one I think I've ever been to. Have you been to any other Wawas, Ellie?
No, I haven't. I mean, it begins and ends with that Wawa. So I actually don't know the Wawa chain in general. I guess it's just that specific Wawa, which was a universe unto itself. But yeah, it changed with the time. And it was like, you know, a beacon for us. And I love it. I love the food there. I love the ice cream. I love the apple fritters. I loathe to love them.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my number 3, Scott. 1999. We're getting to the end of the countdown here. Number 2.
This is my number 1. It's number 2 overall, but it's my number 1. It's also a little bit of a cheat, but I hope people will forgive me. My favorite thing about 1999 was senior prom. I went to senior prom, Ellie.
Of course you did. I mean, of course you did.
I was a big man on campus.
Yeah.
Rented my tuxedo, got my corsage, all that stuff.
Yep.
Ellie, quick quiz.
Uh-oh.
I think our listeners are going to be ahead of you on this one.
Okay.
How much game do you think that I had back in 1999?
Scott, why are you making me answer that question?
I'll answer it for you. Not much.
Based on your 2 favorite things?
Based on my Star Wars and Michael Crichton obsessions, you might have figured out. No. So prom for me, I was like pretty excited. It was a big deal. A girl asked me out. I thought she was joking. She asked me out again. I thought she was joking.
I'm crying.
She asked me out a third time.
Scott.
And then I was like, oh, she's not joking.
Why didn't you believe her?
Well, because I didn't have much game, Ellie. I didn't play it well.
Sad.
it's a fun, delightful, happy memory.
Okay.
Her name was Katie. Very, very nice. Much cooler. Truly one of the big men on campus.
Yeah.
Although she was a woman. An unforgettable prom night. I might have gotten a kiss, Ellie.
Scott, this
very
is
very exciting for me. One of my favorite parts of the whole experience was the next morning, my best friend picked me up in his parents' like hatchback, and we drove around with the windows down, blasting Mo Money, Mo Problems.
Yes.
We were just so happy. We were like, yeah, we're kissing. It was great.
Scott,
unbridled joy.
Scott, I have to tell you, I was not groaning and making sad sounds because I thought it was a bad man. I wish that you had had more confidence in high school.
I had a lot of confidence, just not a lot of game. That's all. There is a little sad ending to the story. You want to hear the sad part?
Yeah.
I see Ellie's face, and I'm like, ooh, why?
I was so happy.
Why are you taking these skeletons out of the closet
for
all to see?
Here we go.
So another thing that wasn't around a lot in 1999 was cell phones.
Sure. No, no.
So I had two jobs. I worked at the movie theater, and I also worked at a Barnes & Noble where I would get my Michael Crichton books. I was a bookseller, and there's no real way to reach me because I didn't have a cell phone.
Right.
And I was working, and my best friend, the same one that I had driven around with about a week after prom, came into the Barnes & Noble because he had an important message to deliver. And I was like, oh, this must be a big deal if he drove all the way to Barnes & Noble to see it. And he was like, Katie, she started hooking up with some other guy.
So my
romance lasted exactly 1 week, and I was
Scott,
heartbroken.
I'm sorry. I'm not saying anything about Katie, but I do wonder what happened because she was so intent on taking you to prom. And she asked not once, not twice, but three times.
Thrice.
I guess she got what she needed, which was a kiss, and then moved on.
And then moved on. Or maybe bad kisser.
No, Scott, again, you got to up your confidence.
Don't worry, guys. The last 24 years, I've turned into a pro.
Woo!
Kissing professional.
Woo! BMOC. BTOC. Big tongue on campus. Disgusting. Scott, that's really beautiful. I'm glad you had a nice prom. I'm sorry the afterglow, can I call it that, only lasted a week. But it sounds like it's a fond memory.
You know, that's love, Ellie. There are ups and downs, and the ups are worth the downs. And that's how it was for my high school prom.
I couldn't agree more. They're the tax you pay on the ups.
And just like the stock market, on balance over time, you usually come out ahead.
That's exactly, absolutely right with the stock market.
So, Ellie, why don't you take us home?
My number one, it's number one for both this list and number one for me. 1999 favorite thing. It's a little appropriate considering the time that it's coming in this conversation. It's the song Closing Time.
Oh.
Semisonic.
You don't have to go home.
But you know what? You can't say here. You're in like a limbo land. Sorry. Closing Time came out in 1998. Okay. So
it's okay.
I know. I just don't know if it was as relevant or as like prominent in your life as it was in mine, because they played Closing Time a lot when I was a senior in high school because, hello, it represented so much. It was closing time on our high school experiences. The reason I liked it in 1999, again, I mean, you're going to think I was just a real mess my first year living away from my home. But I really liked listening to Closing Time because it was
Wawa ice cream and Closing Time were your solace.
That's exactly it. And I would blast Closing Time and slurp my, because it was always melted by the time I got it back to my dorm, slurp my little mint chocolate chip Wawa ice cream and cry.
You got an apple fritter in each fist.
Oh my gosh, dipping it in the foamy aftermath of the Wawa mint chocolate. It was always really bubbly. And I would always acknowledge, I always thought, oh, it's because there isn't so much fat in there. That's why it's so like watery when it melts. It was always bubbly. Isn't that weird? Was it a witch's brew when my green ice cream would melt and start to burble up, bubble, gurgle? Cauldron burn. I don't know the Shakespeare scholar. So anyway, I loved that song. And my friend, Larry, he caught me crying once to that song. We were out partying, as you do. And closing. Oh, BMOC. And that song came on and I started crying. And he was so nice. And he was like, it's okay. We should go home.
It was closing time for you that night. Yeah. And yeah.
And it was
night.
Time to leave. And so again, for our listeners who never really heard that song, it's a very sweet song about the time of closing. And so it's, you know, represents a lot of things in life. Everything does come to an end. You don't have to go home, as Scott said, but you know, you can't stay here. Mm-hmm. That's how life is. And I felt that they summed it up very well in the song, but also I just like the melody, the tune.
It's fantastic. It's a phenomenal song. And Ellie, you may not have known this about it. Semisonic, the group that sings Closing Time is from Minnesota. And I was in Minnesota, so it was on the radio. Like, often it was on the radio in St. Louis, just double it, triple it. It was a hometown hit. I think that the bar, it would be cool if I could say I'd been to the bar that inspired the song. I was much too dorky to be going to bars in 1999.
Well, you wouldn't be let in.
I wouldn't be let in.
You know what you could do? You could just arbitrarily name a bar and say that that's the bar. And then in your head, you've been to this iconic bar and it doesn't really matter if it's that or not.
The saddest thing is maybe I've been there many times and didn't even know.
Well, that's the tragedy of all of this.
But that one bar is every bar and that experience is universal. And that's why the song is so amazing.
Ellie,
I have a bonus one for you that I wanted to spring on you.
Great, great, great.
Do you know what I most loved about 1999?
No.
Meeting you.
Closing Time, Scott Eckert. I was saving that for the bonus too.
You were not.
I didn't know we were allowed a bonus. Scott, 1999 is the year Scott and I met in our college improv comedy group.
September 1999, I believe. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And we were both auditioning. Mm-hmm. We both joined. Oh my gosh. And Denny's. We should have named that. That
we
was my first
named
trip
Denny's.
To a Denny's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Denny's and Wawa. That's the high class stuff that we like back in college.
Yeah.
Well, yesteryear.
Yep.
How do you say goodbye in French? Au revoir.
Au revoir. À bientôt. À bientôt. Au revoir. Bon voyage, 1999. It's time to get back to the current year. We have a very special round of Love It or Loathe It coming up.
Oh, we do. I've got some good ones. You've got some good ones. Stick around for Love It or Loathe It.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back.
You and I both know how to play the game, but for anyone who's listening for the first time, I don't think they know.
No, it's a complicated game. We're going to say, I'm kidding, it's not complicated at all. Scott and I are going to give each other items, and we're going to answer the other person with a love it or a loathe it. There is no in between. You're all in or you're all out on the subject mentioned, okay? Scott Eckert, love it or loathe it. Midichlorians.
Midichlorians. Loathe. Loathe. Ellie, you have no idea what midichlorians are.
None! They're
an invention in Star Wars Episode 1. There's something in your blood that gives you the force power. And I do not like the idea that the force is determined by your biology. The force should be determined by maybe your talent, by maybe your willpower. Yeah. I do not like that there is a scientific basis for the force. It is antithetical. Antithetical. My first one for you, Ellie. AOL Instant Messenger.
La 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 la, love it. I love AOL Instant Message. I love it. Do you understand how thrilling that was? As a person, we were all...
Why don't you explain what it is to all the tweens out there?
Is it that different from direct messaging now? It's basically AOL Instant Message was a way of essentially texting someone on your computer, though. We didn't have cell phones. And you could talk to anyone, mostly in your school. And I talked to Craig, who was a powerful football player, but he was a very quiet guy. And on AOL Instant Message, he opened up. We didn't have deep talks or anything, but the difference was so stark between seeing him in person and not really talking to him at all. And then online, he was just one example. But you got to talk to people in this new medium, and it was nothing short of thrilling. I can't explain what it was, but do you remember that adrenaline? It was so exciting. Oh,
absolutely. And everyone would open up a bunch of AOL Instant Messengers on their tabs. Now we text and we have different threads, you know, sort of simultaneously, but we're only looking at one at a time. We used to have like 8 open at once.
Yep.
And then you'd copy and paste. It's like, David just said this.
Yep. It was all so exciting. I loved it.
It's funny to talk about this. And everybody now in their pockets is doing it all the time. The miracle of technology.
It was so exciting. Okay, Scott, love it or loathe it?
$18.99. I like it. Steampunk. President William McKinley,
I believe.
Let's see. Now gotcha. I got to figure
now
out.
Now you got to look that up.
I guess that I have to say loathe it. I don't
I
don't
thought
like
you just
that
loved
period.
It.
$18.99? No, I don't think. No, there's the plutocracy's running America.
Yeah.
There's a lot of strife, a lot of forgettable stuff. I mean, I don't think I liked it.
Well, there's not, I didn't think. It's either you love it or you loathe it. So it seems like you loathed it.
Loathe. I did say loathe, right?
You did, but then you like tempered it with, I didn't really like it, but you have to loathe it.
I loathe it. I'm sorry.
All right. No, that's fine.
I'm not going to break the rules. I'm going to lay a 1999er on you. Another bit of technology, Napster.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what Napster was. I didn't use it. I
really,
really? Didn't. Yeah, I didn't. I never used Napster.
Well, love it or loathe it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I like momentarily forgot the rules of the game. I loathed it because I know that it was... Was it illegal? Was something like bad about
illegally downloading music?
Yeah, that's why I didn't know about it, because I didn't do anything illegal and I still don't.
Law
abider. For any law enforcement officers listening, I don't do anything against the law. But anyway, I guess I loathe it. I loathe it. I feel like when it comes to whatever that was.
Digital piracy. You're against it.
I'm against digital piracy.
Love it or loathe it, actual pirates, like
love.
Old school. Love. Everybody does. Love. Digital piracy, no. Real piracy, yes.
Yes. Scott, this is a callback to prom. Love it or loathe it, slow dancing.
Really got to think about this one. I think love. I think I love it. I don't know. So much anxiety, so much stress.
Yeah.
Especially for a big man on campus like me without a lot of game. Yep. I think I love it. Ellie, what's your take on slow dancing?
Oh, I loathe it.
Well, wait. So I want to clarify. I'm thinking of how I felt about it in 1999. In 1999, there's a lot of stress and anxiety, but I was into the physical touch of a lady, and that was like all I was getting. So
now
I hate it. Man, I'm at a wedding with my wife, and a slow dance comes on. It's like, give me 30 seconds tops. I'm like, Wes, we don't need to. Yeah. What are we doing here? But back as a kid,
it was
like
exciting.
Closing times, playing on the gym speakers.
Yeah.
I haven't convinced you.
No, because I'm a prude, and I was always uncomfortable with slow dancing and the intimacy it necessitated. So No, I didn't like it. I loathe it. I loathe it. I loathe it then. I loathe it now. Okay, Scott, your turn for me.
I think this is the last one. Ellie, James Vanderbeek.
I guess I have to go with love. Oh my gosh. I definitely have to go with love.
Dawson's Creek. He was Dawson, right?
I didn't watch Dawson's Creek, but he's such a likable guy. He's a positive force in the world. He's a positive. Suddenly goes to be like he's a net positive.
He made a beloved TV show. So you're not a Dawson's Creek fan. What were your television viewing habits?
In the 90s, I watched Beverly Hills 90210, and I watched My So-Called Life, and I watched Seinfeld. I didn't watch a lot of TV in the 90s. I was always doing my homework.
Yeah, working hard.
Yeah, but James Vanderbeek, love.
Love.
Now, there is actually one more I want to ask you about. Love it or loathe it, because I know how I feel about it.
Going out strong.
Love it or loathe it, Mambo number 5.
Boop, 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 boop.
I think there you just gave me your answer.
I mean, I think I love it.
Love it.
As you know, Ellie, music in general, let's just say I don't love it. I know very little about music. The only music window that I'm a little familiar with, high school. So late 90s, chart toppers. Before, nothing. After, nothing. Mambo number 5, yes, definitely. Could
absolutely
sing the whole song if it started playing right now.
That's fantastic.
Well, what are all those girls that he just names, right?
Oh my gosh.
Now that I think about it, also, you just, the unexamined lyrics of songs where a guy just lists the number of ladies that he's,
yep,
you know,
slow dancing with.
Slow dancing with. Yeah. Well, Ellie, thank you so much for reminding me all the stuff that I love about 1999.
Thank you for that nice little walk down memory lane. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on our walk. We were born to love you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Born to Love. We'll be back next week with brand new things that we love.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and tell us what you love. We might even ask one of our guests in an upcoming Love It or Loathe It.
Born to Love is hosted and created by Ellie Kemper and Scott Eckert.
Our executive producer is Aaron Kaufman. Our producers are Sheena Ozaki and Zoe Dankla.
Born to Love is part of Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network in collaboration with iHeart Podcasts. Special thanks to Han Sani,
Rachel Kaplan and Adriana Cassiano,
Michael Fales,
Alex Coral,
and Bahid Frazier.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.